So we have the third day after Thanksgiving. Is that what it is? Second? Yeah. So I was reading Jesus Calling this morning. And usually, how many know, does everybody know what Jesus Calling is? It's a devotional that is very personal and intimate. It's so personal and intimate that you can read it like several years in a row, and it's like, I've never read that before. It seems to be very much inspired by the Lord. But I thought this would be a great day to read, because it's talking about, this is the day that I have made. As you rejoice in this day of life, it will yield up to you precious gifts and beneficial training. Walk with me along the high road of thanksgiving, and you will find all the delights I have made ready for you. To protect your thankfulness, you must remember that you reside in a fallen world where blessings and sorrows intermingle freely. A constant focus on adversity defeats many Christians. They walk through a day that is brimming with beauty and brightness, seeing only the grayness of their thoughts. Neglecting the practice of giving thanks has darkened their minds. How precious are my children who remember to thank me at all times. They can walk through the darkest days with joy in their hearts because they know the light of my presence is still shining on them. Rejoice in this day that I have made, for I am your steadfast companion. And the verses for this are Psalm 118, 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 116, 17. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. And then Psalm 118, 28. You are my God and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. It says that we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And when we have a thankful heart, it's like something opens up. Even though things may be difficult, even though, like it said, it could be dark and gloomy in your environment, in your heart, it can feel warm because you're thanking God, and his presence fills our thankfulness. So if you would want to, you can stand and join with us as we worship. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have put thankfulness in our hearts. Lord, even if it seems to be buried over, Lord, I pray that you would resurrect thanksgiving in our hearts today. Lord, that we would be able to be thankful in all things, as your word says. Grateful, Lord, for your love and your kindness and your goodness. I pray that you bless this service, Father. I pray that you let your anointing and your power, Lord, that is there to break the yoke, Lord, be released here today. Lord, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glorious inheritance that's in the saints. And we just thank you again that you're working in our lives for your good pleasure.
Thank you. tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are.
So on Thanksgiving, our daughter went into labor. 24 hours later, little Miss Nora Quinn was born. And I'm no longer a slave to fear has hit me hard this morning, because my daughter, even though she's a nurse manager, been trained in ER, her husband's an ER trauma doc, she was still very fearful that something was going to happen and she was going to die and leave five kids. I mean, she just had this ungodly fear about it. And I remember through this song, honey, you can go ahead and bring that stuff over. I remember through in this song where it says, I'm no longer a slave. And a slave is a person that's bound up. And she was so bound up in her fear. And I talked to her last week, and it's been a really hard pregnancy for her, even though it's baby number five. It's been really hard. And she said, the fear is gone. I'm ready for the baby to come out. And I thought to myself, isn't it amazing when something else trumps fear, fear goes away. And let me just tell you guys, God, Jesus, trumped fear.
Amen.
We don't have to be bound up in any kind of fear at all. We don't have to choose to do that at all.
Right.
And so I just wanted to kind of just say that really quickly. Really quick.
Really. Yeah, I remember the first time I heard that song, it like just hit a chord in me. Of course, a year or two before that, the Lord gave me the revelation of being sons and children of God, and that that we were loved. And so when I heard that song, it just all lined up all over the place. Okay, new version is on the server. Hang on a second here. So last week, we talked about God's gift gave us God's love, or God's love gave us God's gift. There it is. Mm-hmm. And we ended with John 3:17. And 18 through 21, the verse 18 kind of recaps a little bit of verses 16 and 17. But 19, 20, and 21 kind of all kind of communicate their own truths. So we got a little bit of a mix here. But today we're calling this coming into the light. Coming into the light. And when we're done, maybe we'll ask again if we've come into the light. Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you want to go and read, hun?
Oops. Sure.
Let me help it turn on here.
All the way through?
Yeah, way through to
20-something.
Yeah, the blank screen.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God.
Amen. So 3:18 carries on with this idea of condemned or judgment. And last week we discussed how the being condemned means that the judgment has been passed. And so it says that he who believes or trusts, he who believes or trusts in him is not condemned or has not had judgment passed upon him. But he who does not believe or trust is condemned already, has had judgment passed on him, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So I wanted to focus on a little bit on believed in the name, because when we talk about the name of Jesus, you know,
some individuals think that all you have to do is get somebody to pray in the name of Jesus, and you've got them saved. And I know people that have gone through that, and they prayed in the name of Jesus, but it wasn't a full heart deal. It wasn't like with all their being. You know, Jesus talked about putting your hand on the plow and never looking back. You know, because, I mean, you guys ever seen like a field that's plowed with a horse and a furrow? And if the guy keeps looking back, you got a really wavy
row.
Yeah. And so, you know, no one who sets their hand to the plow, him talking about when you give your life to God, when you commit to the kingdom of God, looks back. And so there's a full commitment that we make as Christians. Now, do we waver sometimes? Of course. I mean, we all have our bad days. We all have our days that we don't feel like we're doing everything we can do to be, you know, qualified to be saved. But fortunately, it's not about, as we discussed last week, it's not about what we do to qualify to be saved. It's a work that Christ did. And we surrender and we yield to that work in our life. We trust in the work of the cross. So the word name, or the name, the word is onamo, and it means the manifestation or revelation of someone's character as distinguishing them from all others. So when we, going back here, when we believe or trusted in the name, we're trusting in the character or the manifestation of the character. That means the revealing of the character of God, of his son, his beloved son. And that distinguishes him from all others. So in this case, it would distinguish him from Buddha. It would distinguish him from Hare Krishna. It would distinguish him from Muhammad. You know, there's a distinguishing that we identify with as Christians. I like to say this. I say, all roads lead to God, but they go through Christ. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can get to God by our own journey. But to get to him, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by through me. So he is the door. He is our door of access. And so anyone else trying to, you know, get to God without going through the door is trying to steal the gift that God has given to us freely.
Right.
And Jesus says in John 10 that they're thieves and they're robbers, because they're trying to steal what has been a free gift. Isn't that something? By trying to go another way, you're actually stealing from God, because what he gives us is a free gift. Wow. Let that sink in. He gives us a free gift of salvation. So what does that mean you have to do for it? Trust. That's it. Trust and belief. I mean, that's pretty easy. Where the rubber meets the road is, now I've made this commitment to you, Lord. Now help me live a life worthy of that commitment. And that's where we get into, well, you got to have works to show your faith. No, but you have to have faith to get into works. I mean, it gets to be that whole James and Paul type deal in the Bible. But let's go ahead and look at another verse. This is John 3:19. And it says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So light has come into the world. So what is this light that we're talking about? Because, I mean, you know, we have many different types of lights. We have a light that we turn on when we come into a room, and usually light means that there's going to be some kind of illumination. But there's lights that you see from afar. A star is a light. I don't know how much it's going to help you, you know, guide your way through the night. Anybody trying to make it without a moonlight when you're going through the forest and you're just going by the stars? Sometimes it can be okay, but that moonlight really makes a difference as it reflects the sun. So let's see what kind of light that it's talking about here. I got to get to it. So this light that it's talking about is the word phos. And it's where we get our word phosphorus. Okay? And it's properly light, but especially in terms of its results, what it manifests. Now, this is an interesting point. Let me finish reading and then I'll explain a little bit more. In the New Testament, the manifestation of God's self-existence. The manifestation word means revelation. When you see manifestation, it means something being revealed. The manifestation of God's self-existent life. Divine illumination to reveal and impart life through Christ. So it says, going back here again, that the light, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So what is this saying? So Jesus came into the world, and what Jesus is, he's not just like a light from afar. Jesus is like a spotlight. Jesus is the light that can show us the way where to walk, but it's also the light that can be shined on us that illuminates, guess what? Every inconsistency that's inside of us. How many have read the word and just gone like, oh man, I'm a mess? Because it shows us a character and nature of God most of the time that we don't measure up to. But that light is a searching light. It's a penetrating light. And so Jesus is the light of the world, he says. As a matter of fact, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let's go ahead and look at a verse here. It says in John, right back there. Hello. I kill it. There we go. It says in John 1, 4 through 5. We went over this at the very beginning of the year. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So this is kind of a poetic type of statement, but what does it mean? It means Jesus came into this dark environment. The world was dark because of sin, because of death and decay that came into this world through Adam and Eve. And so Jesus was life, and he came into this world to bring light. And that light is our life. It says that in the light shines in the darkness, and the light, and the darkness did not comprehend it. But and the life was the light of men. His life was our light. When we receive Christ, we receive light. We receive the ability to tell the difference between right and wrong a lot easier. I know before I was saved, I kind of lived by situational ethics. Mm-hmm. I never killed anybody. Didn't rob, cheat, or steal, at least not a bank. You know, I had my own things, you know, I'd borrow some money and conveniently forget to turn, you know, pay them back. But I mean, I wasn't purposefully being, you know, a deviant person. So I thought I was all good with God because, you know, I wasn't like the others that are really, really bad, like Hitler, you know, Mussolini, you know, Charles Manson. You know, you always have your ones that you can say, that's evil. But no, I had my own darkness, you know, and when I received Christ, all of a sudden, my inconsistencies, I became aware of through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit helps bring greater light into our life. Do you have something, or are you just...
I'm just listening.
John 12:46 says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness, or dwell and live in darkness. So if we have Christ, there is no reason for us to dwell or live in darkness. There's no reason for us to have to be someone that is committed to the darkness of this world. Now, does it mean that we're going to be totally able to abstain totally from the darkness? No, because we live in a fallen, depraved world. So the only thing that keeps us from engaging with that darkness is our submitting to the Holy Spirit. Because I guarantee if you're not submitting to that holy voice inside of you that says, that's not a good idea, or child, don't do that, that's not the way I've created you. He speaks to us, sometimes says, don't touch. He knows how to talk to all of us, you know. Have you guys had, like, been around people who have different kids, you know, or you have many kids, and some you can just say, honey, don't do that. And that's all it takes, right? And they're listening. Others you tell, honey, don't do that, that's the word go to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then some you can maybe just, no, don't touch that oven, you know, it's hot, you know, you're going to burn, you know, and just slap their hand, and they whimper a little bit, and they're done, you know. But then some, you got to take in the back room and lock them in the room. Or, I mean, you got to constantly on them. No, don't touch that. And then they touch it again. And so we all get spoken to differently by God. Aren't you glad? I mean, because if you're the kind that all you need is a little gentle push, aren't you glad God doesn't yell at you? What are you doing? I remember Stephen, you would get ready to like give him a spanking. He was like already crying because he disappointed you. And then there's Melissa, who like didn't care that she disappointed you. As a matter of fact, get ready for some more disappointment because I'm not going to even act like I care that you spanked me. So anyway, that's a little kids. Side note. Kids, yeah. So, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So this is a kind of an indictment against mankind. Mm-hmm. That it's hard for us to receive light because we love darkness. Now that really is an indictment if you think about it. But why is that? It's because their deeds were evil. And I can think about that. When my deeds were evil, and again, you know, my deeds weren't as evil as some out there, but my deeds were evil. There was something about it that I loved. Mm-hmm. Until Holy Spirit came into my life and started having me question all of the things that I was doing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting me of sin, righteousness, and the judgment to come. Because mm-hmm. that's what he did in my life. He convicted me of the sin that was going on. He convicted me that I was not righteous. Right. And he convicted me that there was going to be a judgment to come. And I submitted to the work of the cross then in my life.
And just repeating what you said a little bit more is that some people think, you know, oh, telling a little white lie is no big deal. But to the Lord, there's no degree in sin. Like when you sin, it's black. He doesn't look at, well, you're better than Hitler because you didn't kill all those Jews. But, you know, so we'll give you a little bit of grace. He doesn't do that at all. He sees sin as sin, no matter what that sin may be. And a lot of times we are our own justification. We justify ourselves to make us feel better, to make us say, well, I'm not so bad. You know, I don't. But even like we said last week, even an attitude, a nasty attitude, can be the worst kind of sin, because then your motives are completely wrong for everything. And so we have to remember that in God, there's no degree of sin. There's just sin.
Yeah. And I want to keep him, because it's easy sometimes to read the Bible and say, okay, we're just reading. But these are Jesus' words that he is speaking still to Nicodemus, who came at night. This is still the conversation going between them. And he's letting them know, listen, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. So I think Nicodemus is getting an education here. So let's look at John 3, 20 through 21. This is kind of where I want to spend the rest of this. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So everyone practicing evil hates the light. Have you ever gone around someone, you're a Christian, you're saved, and you can just all of a sudden feel that they dislike you? And you're like, you didn't hardly talk to them. You've been nice to them. You know, you've opened the door for them. You know, sometimes you're a little more gracious than they maybe expect. But there's something about you, they hate it. I mean, it's not like, you know, well, you know, I just kind of dislike. No, they hate you. And if they could, they would get you fired. They would do whatever they could to get you off of their radar, out of their environment, because they hate the light. And guess what? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill. Even though Jesus, yes, he is the light of the world, he now lives in us. So guess what? By proxy, by dwelling, we are now the light. And so guess what? If they hated Jesus, guess who they're going to hate now? Isn't that good news? Go ahead.
Again, going back to the recent encounters, Pastor Dave made sure I went to the first encounter
Yeah.
I know now, I knew quickly after that I was supposed to have been in that encounter because of what was coming. And God gave to make sure that I got there. And because I wasn't going to go. And so when we did, the client that I was working for at the time, her mother-in-law, who hates caregivers, she hated to go into the home. And it wasn't just that she hated caregivers specifically, she hated me.
Oh.
And Linda used to ask me, what did you do to her? And I'm like, I did nothing to her. You know that. I said, what it is the devil on her back sees Christ in me. And when it sees Christ in me, it reacts and causes her to react.
Yeah.
Because we don't realize, because sometimes we just see people as evil, Sometimes what we don't see is that there's an enemy on our back, and it's reacting to the light in us, and it causes her to react. Sometimes they don't even realize why they hate or why they do
right.
They just know they don't like you for some reason or something about you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, have any of you guys ever gone into a dark room and flipped on the light and termites were in there and they went,
or spiders?
Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay, so back in Florida, honestly, termites were like in every home. You could never get rid of them. And I remember, they were big little things. Big things, huge, nasty.
Termites or cockroaches? I think you're talking cockroaches. Yeah, termites
that's
are in the walls.
That's what I'm thinking, cockroaches.
Going like,
sorry.
Wow, those are some mean termites.
Cockroaches. So we went.
When you said that big, then
so
I knew what they were.
So we went into my aunt's house, and she flipped on the lights, and there was this great big long cockroach on the wall. But you could hear them scurrying away from the light. And that's how the enemy is with you when you have Jesus in you. Isn't that a great analogy? He wants to scurry away because he doesn't want anything to shine on whoever he's messing with to have them receive any kind of freedom from God. But God, he's so gracious that sometimes that extra nudge, that extra push, that extra love. And you guys, love is the key.
Love is the key.
Love is the key. Love is what makes that one cockroach stick around and say, hey, wait just a second. So just remember, your attitude of heart, your love attitude or not, it's reflective to other people and they see it. And people, especially this time of year, they're looking for it. They really are. I mean, the way that our world is right now, the way that the United States in particular is, people are now searching for truth. They want true. They don't want lies anymore.
Or fake news.
Fake news. They want true.
That's right.
And so you are true.
And you have the real news.
Exactly. And you have the truth in you because he's in you.
That's good. So get to say, to finish what kind of along what you were saying, it says that we are aroma to the world. Mm-hmm. And to those who are being saved, we're a sweet aroma. But to those who are perishing, we're the aroma of death. And so that communicates to me that there are going to be individuals that may not like the scent that we bring out, And it's crazy because we carry two scents. Practicing evil hates the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. That's because the light, what shines on you? And when you would go into that house, you would start shining the light. Even though you were like sitting there, okay, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You didn't have to do any of that. You even just trying to love them was communicating to them that there was something wrong with them because they weren't in Christ. They have not received the light. But he who does the truth comes to the light. So guess what? We are to always go to the light. Mm-hmm. We're to always run to the light. If we sense by Holy Spirit that there's something going odd in us, you know what we should do? We should run to someone, Jesus, God. But if you need someone that you can pray with or commit something to, make sure it's somebody you trust. And we need to get all that darkness exposed and just say, you know what? I want to come to light and I want my deeds to be clearly seen that what's being done is being worked out by
right,
God.
Right, right.
Ephesians 5, 11 through 14 have some very interesting verses. And Paul says, "And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." That word could also mean rebuke them. That doesn't mean you're supposed to go up to people and start rebuking them. I think it means to rebuke them in such a way that the darkness doesn't have control of that individual or you. "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Now this is an interesting verse, this next one, 13. "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, 'Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.' But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light," are revealed by light. So if you have something in your life, making it personal now, and you sense that God's communicating to you about getting rid of that from your life, that's the light of God exposing that in you. He's not exposing you so that you can be made fun of. He's not exposing you so that he can just say, "Yeah, you dirty, rotten kid, you know, you should get your act." He's exposing you so that you can bring that issue to the light. You can bring it to the one that the light penetrates the darkness, like you said, in such a way that the cockroaches run away. But I believe that the light is so strong. How many know that lasers in a room can kill cockroaches? They can't slide under the wall, even then get, you know, so micro thin. It will stop them to where they don't irritate or bother you anymore.
Well, being vulnerable again, like I was last night or last week when I was saying how, you know, I know in the last 2 years that I've been in a really weird place because of losing my parents and my aunties. And how I was vulnerable enough to know that that affects you guys because you're family, and asking for forgiveness. This very week, last night, in fact, I was being sent a text message by somebody that has been in my life now for over 3 years. But God is now opening it up to where I'm able to actually speak truth into our relationship and into this person's heart. But before I couldn't because I could care less that she, you know, was having a hard time because I was having a hard time and my hard time was way worse than her hard time, obviously. You know, I mean, I had an attitude in my heart. But God, because of what he's been doing with me over the last 2 weeks, I was able truly to minister to her, and it was via text, no big deal. That's the way she wanted it, and I was good with that. And she truly was very, very thankful. And then after I got done, I said, "Babe, who would have known that, you know, I thought it was for this person or that person, but it's been for this person all along, and I had no idea because I was in my own little world." And I, you guys, what I'm trying to say is we have a choice to allow how much light comes in.
Yeah.
Like we can open it just barely enough
or
to where
light goes out.
Yeah, we can open it up just barely enough so that no corners is seen, no little dust bunnies are noticed.
No cockroaches
are noticed. Or we can actually flail the doors wide open and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm done with this." And that's what I did. I'm done with this. And you guys, I've been very raw and very real before the Lord and very vulnerable before him. And in that, I have found freedom that I didn't have before. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that you guys control that. You can say, "Hey, I want it. I want this done. Like it's a done deal. It's a did deal. Remember?
It's a did deal. Yeah.
I want the doors wide open. I don't want it to be just a little bit of light where, whew, I can skin by to heaven by the skin of my teeth, or slide into heaven by the skin of my teeth. You know what I'm saying? Like I've done just enough." You guys, I'm going to tell you right now, when I stand before my King, And I know it's just going to be me and him. There's not going to be anybody around me, behind me, in front of me. It's going to be me and him. I don't want to just say, "Lord, I did just enough to get by." He's not going to be pleased with that. He's not going to be happy about that. So you guys, get be done with the opening just a little bit. Make the choice to be real and to be raw and open yourself up to allow the light of the Holy Spirit to come in and truly renew you to who God's called you to be. Because last night after I got done texting, my husband was studying, and I went up behind him and I spoke into his ear and I said, "The Lord's really working on me this week." And he says, "I know, I can tell." Like, already we've seen reward from being vulnerable, from throwing those doors wide open. And I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, because I have a long way to go. But what I'm saying is, if I can do it and then I can tell you about it, you at least can do it. I'm not asking you to come to me and say, "Hey, I threw the doors open." That's between you and God. If you choose to testify about that, that's a great thing. But you guys, you got to do it. Because if you're coming week after week after week, and you're sitting under this teaching, and you're going home, and again, remember I said between Sundays, and between Sundays you're doing whatever, and when you get here the next Sunday, it's like, "Oh, I got to get everything, you know, got to get my heart right back with God, you know." It's between the Sundays that matters. It doesn't matter what happens here. But what I can tell you is, you can waste every Sunday sitting in the chair that you're in. You can waste it. You can. You can come and put in your 2.5 hours and be done. Or you can say, "God, reveal to me, truly me. And if it's not pleasing to you, help me to change it." And he will, you guys. And what a beautiful time of year to say completely 100% yes, God. I mean, really, really yes, God. And not that that one yes isn't good enough. It is. But I'm saying, "Yes, God, you now examine me. My doors, I not only threw the doors open, I pulled those little things out and I threw the doors off the frame. I got rid of the pin that was in the hinge. I got rid of it and tossed the doors, because I don't want them to be shut anymore. I want them to be wide open. I don't want to play this game of, you know, peekaboo, or come on in, or don't come in, or, you know, and we do that as Christians so often. And Jesus says, "You know what? Come on, guys. Time's a wasting. Let's get this done. Let's do it right. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Let's be raw and open, because that's the best kind of relationship to have with the Lord.
A real relationship." Yep.
Relationship.
Uh-huh.
Something you find out that sometimes we probably are missing too, is that there is an immense joy in the light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's
an immense joy in the light. That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
Might need to talk up, because I'm thinking you're talking.
She's had this thing that she's been hanging on to, and I haven't seen her for a couple of years, like visiting, like when all the family gets together. I haven't had a chance to sit and talk to her. So this week I could, and she told me that she got rid of, and she told it to me in like this nonchalant way, how she got rid of this thing that she was hanging on to that was causing her so many issues. And I just looked at her and I said, "I figured something like that, because I can see the joy on your face and you're smiling and you're happy." And she goes, "You know what? I did not know how much hanging on to that was hurting me, and now I am happy because God told me to let it go." And see, and she's Catholic. She's completely different faith. But her heart is so set on loving her
parents. Oh, yeah.
And loving her God. And then when she did it, that she now lives in an immense joy.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That is awesome. And this scripture goes along with both what you guys are saying.
Right.
I was wondering, why do I have this in here? And I was almost ready to skip it. And then I'm listening, okay. The lamp of the body is the eye. So what does that mean? This is kind of metaphoric speaking. It's not just saying our eye, our physical eye. But it's talking about, how do we see? How do we view things? How do we let either light in or darkness in? So if therefore your eye is good, in other words, you're seeing things through God's perspective, not just positive thinking, but you're seeing things through God's perspective. And that would mean that even if you're in bad, all things work together for good. Your whole body will be full of light. And that's what's happening with your sister-in-law. She's full of light. And that light is showing off as joy. as a contentment, as a peace. Same thing with you. You're feeling an ability to move on in closer relationship with the Lord, a greater passion for God, and ready to help others with that light that's in you. But if your eye is bad, in other words, you're seeing things through the wrong lens, you're seeing things through the wrong scope, then your whole body will be full of darkness. So if you think about it, we have a choice. We can choose to let the light in, like you said, open those doors wide, let the light in, and help us see things through the right perspective. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Mm. Then each one's praise will come from God. So what I want to get to now is that eventually, guys, everything that we're hiding will be revealed, even the counsel of our heart. So if we want it to be revealed in a way that we can, I guess, grow and learn, obviously the Lord is going to love us and accept us. That's not what we're talking about here. But who wants things exposed in that time when you're seeing the Lord for the first time, if you can expose them now?
Right.
Anybody with me?
Yeah, get her done.
I mean, if you can, you know, get the cart behind the horse and not in front of the horse, and let it go the way that it's meant to happen. Let's check another verse out. Mark 4:22. For is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Hey, has anybody seen what's going on in Hollywood? Has anybody seen what's going on in some of the other things in different, you know, organizations that are exposing a huge amount of darkness? Guess what? Those folks thought things were secret. They were paying off people probably to keep things secret. But this scripture became true. What was done in secret came to light. Mm-hmm. And that goes with us. Whatever we've done in secret, again, this is not so that God can shame us. This is so that God can free us, mm-hmm, so that we can be everything he's called us to be. Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. So if it's going to come to light, then let's just be, why don't we just be obedient or be agreeable with God working his light in us and come into the light? Because Jesus is the light. And if he's living in you, if you've received him, you've got all the light that you need. You just need to say, Lord, as David said, search me. Try me. See if there's anything in me that I am not even aware of. And if there is, help me deal with it. And I'm going to end with this verse. Romans 13:11-13. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But let's cast off these works of darkness. Let's say I reject darkness from my life. I reject evil from my life. I choose not to love darkness. I choose not to love evil. And Lord, if I don't know what that is, reveal that to me. And then let us put on the armor of light. Let us put on a clothing of light, so that the light that we have is from God, and that it penetrates every bit of darkness in us and reveals others the love of God and the condition that they're in a good way. Not exposing them in shame, but exposing them in such a way that they can realize they need God. I would not have come to Christ unless I'd gotten to a point where I knew I needed God. Any of you could agree? I mean, because, you know, you can do a lot of stuff in life that's pretty fun. You know, it can get you in trouble. There can be consequences to our fun. But at a certain point, I got to the place where I knew I needed God. I needed him in my life. And when I got to that place, I was allowed then to let the darkness be exposed. Because I wanted to be like him anyway. Because he loved me, and I wanted to love him back. So, have you come into the light? Maybe you've come into it partially. Maybe it's like this big spotlight on the ground, and you see the edge, and you're willing to like, well, I'll put my foot in there. Keep my foot in the light. That way, at least I'm in the light, you know, somewhat, you know. And like out here, I can be doing other things, but at least my foot's in the light. You guys getting this? A big spotlight right here. Or maybe you'll go and stand in the light for a little bit. Oh, under the rays, Sunday morning. Oh, okay. Yes, I worship you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And the light comes in, and oh, forgive me, Lord, for that. No, forgive me for, I did that. Yeah, and you just get it all cleaned up with God. It's kind of like your confessional. Sunday morning confessional, you know, oh, I worship you, and it's just like perfect. And then you leave a foot there and you go back. Okay, now I'm just doing all my stuff. And you know, the thing is that he is not unaware of this game. And he is not mad at you because you're doing it. God is not mad at you. He hurts for you because he wants you to be in his light so that all of you is full of him. Because being full of God is full of joy, because it's being full of his presence. Yeah. So coming to the light is a voluntary issue. I can't make you come to the light. I mean, I can, you know, close and get Jesse play some really good music that makes you kind of feel a little bit, you know, something in your heart. And you could come up and maybe, you know, I could get you to make a commitment for a couple of weeks. But no, you have to voluntarily come and say, you know what? All of my baggage, all of my junk, everything in my trunk, I leave it here. And I'm not going to pick it up. All of my darkness, I expose to the light every single day. I'm open to you, Lord, to go through and dig through all of my empty rooms that have boxes of stuff that every now and then I'll go and tinker. I mean, but it's volunteer. It's volunteer. You can't make somebody, and God won't make you. That's the goodness of God too. He won't make you. He loves you so much that he gave you a 100% free will. Not one person is ever coerced into serving or loving God. Isn't that amazing?
Beautiful.
It is a beautiful. But it also leaves a big responsibility on us. We have to say yes. But that's all you have to say. It's just yes. And if you're saying no today, guess what? You can say yes right now. Or you can say yes when you leave here. I mean, that's the beauty of God. He's always willing to take us at any point of our volunteering. Maybe all you want to do is just volunteer today to just give up something that has become more apparent to you over the last few weeks or months. And you say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to give this to you. And he joyfully takes it. Mm-hmm. And he relishes and excites in your victory. But man, what if we gave him everything? What would the world be like if we all surrendered all of our junk and we just walked in the love of God? Seems almost impossible, doesn't it? I mean, you start thinking of all our human weakness and frailties, it just seems impossible. But I don't think it is. I think Holy Spirit that lives in each and every one of us who've given our hearts to Christ is adequate enough to let us live free from darkness.
If it was impossible, it wouldn't be the plan.
No.
He doesn't put into our world something that we should do and that it's impossible to do. Through his strength, we can do it. But a lot of times we feel like it's everything that we have to do. I'm reminded when my dad came to the Lord, he thought he had to quit smoking, quit drinking. He wanted to clean himself up first before he came to the Lord. And that's not the way it happens at all. Have you ever had, and I'm being really honest, have you ever had a fish with no tail and no guts hop into your boat? Fish are cleaned after they're caught. And he said we would be fishing for men, us. They don't get cleaned up beforehand. They get cleaned up after. And we get it so backwards.
And they don't get cleaned up immediately.
No, it's
seems
a process.
You always find stuff in
it's
the fish
process.
In the Christian walk. So this is a little unorthodox, but it's good. We're going to sing Light of the World a cappella. Just to, you know the song?
Light of the World.
Light of the world, you step down.
I have another one.
Oh, you have another one?
Yeah, but it's one that I learned a long time ago.
Well, then you'll have to sing it.
Do you guys? Will you guys just close your eyes? I just want you to hear this song. It's so beautiful, and the Lord's really been putting it on my heart all morning. So I'm going to just try and sing it.
I knew we were supposed to do a song, but that's good.
Just one little light in the darkness. Just one small flicker of light. Just one small glimmer of brightness. Dispelling the darkness of night. Then two lights reached out with new brightness. And soon there were four. And then more. So quickly his light conquered darkness. That new light's flared up by the score. No longer just one light in the darkness. No longer just one tiny flame. Now the world's aglow with his brightness. Since the light of the world, Jesus came. Jesus, 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 the light of the world. Jesus, 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 the light of the world.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your light in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we get to participate, Lord, in being light. Being light to our loved ones, being light to our co-workers, being light to our friends and family. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that we would all surrender. Like the song says, I surrender all. We would surrender the darkness, God, that keeps us, Lord, from letting that light shine in us, Lord, as you have desired and intended it to. I pray right now, Lord, that all of us here in this room, Lord, would have you search us, Lord. Seek through us, Lord, and see if there's any darkness. See if there's any places, God, that are residues, Lord, of old things. Maybe we haven't even participated with them for a long time, but they still weigh us down. They still hold us back. Lord, that we'd release those and we would be full of your joy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything else? Any example? Yes.
I'd like the church to remember my son up in Santa Rosa. That whole town is going through such a devastating situation. Fortunately, his house was saved, and he works for an insurance company that is handling some of these insurances. And he said, I can hear it in his voice when he talks to me. It's very overwhelming for him because there's not that much money coming back to these people.
Right.
Three neighborhoods were lost. Over 6,000 structures were gone.
Wow.
Most of the homes were in Napa and in Santa Rosa. And as a mother, it hurts.
Yeah.
To hear him on the phone. He said it's something he's never gone through naturally. And we don't know how, you know, how everybody's doing up there, but... it's something that I'd like the church to remember in their prayers.
Well, let's pray for him right now. What's his name again?
Mark.
Mark. Father, we just lift Mark before your throne of grace, Lord. And you hear Phyllis's cry, Lord, as a mother, Lord. And she hurts, Lord, for him. And Lord, I don't know all of his experience with you, Lord, but I pray, God, that you would extend your peace.
Yes, Lord.
Extend your grace, Lord. Extend your strength to Mark, Lord, so that he can supernaturally go through this time, Lord. And Lord, draw him to yourself, Lord, the giver of peace. Lord, draw him to know you, Lord, the hope, Lord, when everything looks hopeless. Now, Lord, we pray for his family and his relatives and neighbors and people that are probably close to him, Lord, in desperate situations, customers, Lord. We pray that, Lord, that he would be able to, Lord, speak a word of encouragement to them and be a beacon of hope, Lord. We pray for resources to come in and help, Lord, this desperate situation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anyone else have anything? Okay.
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
The ladies and young ladies.
Not ladies and gentlemen, ladies.
No, just ladies. Ladies and girls. On the 9th of December, we're going to have a tea cookie exchange for Christmas. And we're going to be here at the church. It's going to be at 2 in the afternoon. So I hope you guys will join us, and it's open to any guest, but I do need to know how many people we're going to have. So if you're inviting people and you can get a count and then just let me know, most of you have my phone number, you can text me a number or whatever, but Tara is going to be teaching us a little fun craft that is not very hard to do. And we're going to be doing that, and we're going to be doing a cookie exchange. So I hope you guys can come, and remember to invite your family and your friends.
Amen. All right. Well, God. Oh, yes.
9th at 2 in the afternoon.
9th at 2. What?
9th at 2. Not the 2nd.
Was it the 2nd last time?
No.
Well, we were thinking it was going to be the
2nd. Oh. Oh, not the 2nd. Yes, okay. Yes, Cheyenne. I know what you mean now.
I don't get it.
Because she came a week early.
Oh, right. Yeah. The last BBB that we had, Cheyenne showed up at our house a week early. She was so excited for it.
She was ready for it. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Okay, well, you guys have a wonderful day. Blessings and...
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks, yeah.